What's in the news today?
With so many stories.
Dozens of stories.
We're bound to miss a few.
I'm sorry, did I miss something?
It's In Case We Missed It with the Killer Bees.
And here's the stuff you missed.
Oh, the stories we've been dying to get to, but Brendan only gives us 15 minutes a week to talk about the stories we really want to talk about. How about the Baltimore Ravens costing the Texans a top 10 pick, at least for now? The Ravens losing to the Cleveland Browns in Deshaun Watson's Cleveland debut. The pick didn't move because everybody else around him also won, I guess. But if the Browns would have lost, that Browns pick would have been in the top 10. How dare the Baltimore Ravens for screwing with the Houston Texans like this?
I hate it. And I also, that's why I said I would have taken 12 right away, because I looked at it and said, man, I just don't want to take the risk of them winning some games, some meaningless games, or they think meaningful games, as they get Deshaun to feel more comfortable. That game was a tough game to watch. It was painful. And, you know, John Harbaugh and everybody else talking about all the different, and they're making excuses and trying to figure out ways to do things. They just brought in Sammy Watkins after the Packers cut him, saying that Duvernay on the injured list, they need more help. Lamar is make or break. If Lamar's there, they're a different football team. If Lamar's not there, they're just a bunch of veterans trying to earn a check and do what they do. And what they did last week was look really underwhelming and lost to a bad Cleveland team.
Cleveland, I think, is all right, especially they upgraded the quarterback position. Defense is playing better. But, yeah, they lost. The Browns pick moved a spot. Last week it was 12. Now it's 13. Browns schedule is not that daunting either. But after the game, Deshaun Watson doing what he does best, lying. Here's lying Deshaun Watson lying again.
No, that was really cool. It was fun. The whole game was super fun. The fans, the appreciation, not just for me, but just for the whole team, was awesome. And that's what we got to continue to build each and every week. And that's, like I said before, that's one reason why I wanted to come here, is to be able to feel that energy, feel the fans, and be able to win a lot of games on the lake and win a lot of games for the Cleveland Browns.
Deshaun Watson went to Cleveland for the fans.
To feel the fans.
To feel the fans.
Oh, he's felt fans before. If they're massage therapists.
Like fans inside a masseuse place? Like, what are you talking about?
What's
the
joke
there? I feel like there's no line there.
The joke sells itself there before. I came here to feel the fans. Well, if the massage therapists in Houston were fans, he felt them. Why wouldn't he do the same thing in Cleveland? The joke tells itself.
It wasn't that difficult to follow, Jeremy.
Yeah.
Was it?
It wasn't.
No. It was the punchline there. 713-780-3776. But Deshaun going to Cleveland because of the fans and not because of the Dallas. Jim Harbaugh, head coach of the Michigan Wolverines. Jim Harbaugh was so thirsty to get into the NFL last year. He was planting every single NFL insider. Oh, yeah, this team wants Harbaugh. This team wants Harbaugh. He was trying to create interest in Jim Harbaugh. Now, maybe he's up to it again, but there's a story out there that, according to Zach Kiefer of The Athletic, multiple league sources are convinced that Colts owner Jim Irsay has Michigan coach Jim Harbaugh at the top of his wish list to become the team's next head coach.
One-time Colts quarterback.
Yep.
Could be something there. Maybe.
It was almost a Hail Mary that I think would have... I think there was the AFC Championship game. Hail Mary, final play. It was like in the lap of a Colt receiver and then fell off. That would have punched their ticket to the Super Bowl. It's either the Super Bowl or the AFC Championship, but it rolled off no good. That's what I remember of Harbaugh.
He's pretty highly regarded in Indianapolis. I don't want to say like he's... I want to say at some point there was a discussion about if his number should be retired with the Colts. He was a Bear and a Colt. But for a while there, when they were fairly good with him as the quarterback, he was beloved in Indianapolis, and Irsay could bring that back. I mean, look, if he's going to bring back ex-players, he brought back Jeff Saturday. He could do a lot better with a guy that has a ton more experience in Harbaugh. Again, I think you're onto something. I think all along, Harbaugh's been a guy that thinks he's smarter than the game, and he's planted seeds. Now that you've got a team that's competing in the Final Four again, and you've got a team that he always was aspiring to bring to Michigan, why the hell are you going to leave now?
He wants the NFL life. He doesn't have to deal with
kids. I think the NIL and the recruiting and all the transfer portal, I think it can be too much for a lot of college girls.
He almost got fired at Michigan. Like, they also took away a ton of his money, and then all of a sudden he's good again. Oh, yeah, we'll give that money back to you. I don't think he likes the college game. I think he wants to be back in the NFL, and really it makes a whole lot of sense for the Colts. I think Jim Harbaugh is a really good NFL coach. We saw it in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. I think that'd be a good hire for Andy. I don't think it'd be great for the AFC South. Matt Stafford, he has put to rest the notion that he's going to retire. Brendan, are you happy that Matt Stafford is going to continue playing in the NFL so you can continue to watch the man you love?
And wear the white Pedon jersey.
I mean, yeah, I'm glad. I never took the idea that he's going to retire very seriously.
Okay.
It's just, I mean,
what's he do next year? Because I always compare
he's the quarterback for the Rams.
No, but I'm saying he's making an astronomical amount of money. And yeah, so when you look at some of these guys that I get it, they've made life-changing money their whole life and their whole career. But if you have another year left on your contract to make $35 to $50 million a year, there's pretty good chance you're going to take that.
You know what's funny? I know he's had a lot of injuries, and I don't know his age off the top of my head, but I want to say he's at an age where if he were to retire after this season, it would feel young. Like, he's not 35.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt that he's the quarterback at the Rams.
No,
right?
No,
like, that's
no doubt.
I think they took a lock of the century.
But I think they took Baker Mayfield to see if he might be the backup contingency plan for sure. And I think that their plan is to keep him around, but I don't know if they can afford him.
Yeah, he's not under contract next year.
Did you see what based on all their contracts, trades, and the extensions, they have like $6.7 million to play with for next season.
Not surprising.
Not good.
Yeah, they were pot committed. They were pot committed. Was Draymond Green lying? The infamous ejected fan says he told Draymond Green, Milwaukee fans are giving you a pass regarding his altercation with Jordan Poole. Remember, Draymond Green said he was threatening his life. Is Draymond Green lying about what the fan in Milwaukee had to say to Draymond Green?
It's such a fine line. The Milwaukee fans are so upstanding, and they're just such great supportive fans. They're just passionate about their team. I couldn't see anybody in Milwaukee saying anything like this. I did mention that this was the second game in less than a month that a fan was called out. But it's also a fine line when the official has to take the word of the player, right? And the building personnel, because they know what a bad look it is, if they're going to let the guy that's being called out stay in the building, has to look like they're doing something about it. The Rockets used to relocate fans. They used to give them a free... They wouldn't kick them out of the building. They'd make them sit somewhere else. But just because Draymond goes to official or Russell Westbrook goes to official and says, dude said this and threatened my life, is the official supposed to believe it every time, take him at their word and say he's got to go without actually hearing it himself?
I would say yes. I would say that the officials have to err on the side of the players.
I think, one, it shouldn't be up to the officials, and two...
Well, who's it up to?
The security personnel around the floor should go and start talking to the fans and the people in around the area to see if anybody else heard anything.
I mean, you can't really hold court. It's like a kind of an act fast decision. Now, I think that you should trust the player. And if the player's lying to you, then that's the fault of the player. But I don't think they should be kicked out of the arena. I think it should be a relocation because there's a disagreement.
In the case of what happened with Russell Westbrook, security personnel went and talked to the guy and the people around him and realized it wasn't hyper serious and it wasn't what Russ was saying. So they kind of let cooler heads prevail and they found a way to work it out. I don't know what happened with Draymond Green, but I think that's the proper way to handle this because you know you're going to get in every crowd, even in Salt Lake City, you'll get someone that's holier than thou that's in the building that says he used foul language, he said something and threatened something or made a comment about someone that is in his family and he should go. And people are going to, there's always going to be a few people in shouting distance that heard all of it that can verify or completely say it was his bunk.
It's so funny. He said, she said. Is Draymond lying or not? Joe Buck was named the most powerful person in sports media for 2022. I know you love Joe Buck. Big fan of Joe Buck. How is Joe Buck the most powerful person in sports media?
Is that because he just cashed in on
probably
a mega deal?
Probably.
Because, I mean, then Tony Romo might be as powerful. Because Tony Romo set a new pay scale for all analysts. So maybe Joe Buck did the same thing for play-by-play guys. Jim Nance was making a whole lot of cake for a whole lot of years. But to say that Joe Buck, because he got a big deal, is the most powerful man
in
sports?
Probably be the guy that hired Joe Buck. What is, let's see, Joe Buck's apparently $13 million per year. Romo's at...
God, I thought he was higher.
Romo's 18.
Yeah, I know. I knew Romo was at 18. What's Aikman? Because ESPN went deep into the pockets to get both guys and get them away from Fox.
Remember they hired Aikman before Buck. 18. 18 for Aikman.
So Aikman is more powerful than Joe Buck. Why is Joe Buck so powerful? Because he can do baseball too?
I don't know. I don't know.
I would think that it would be an agent. I think an agent or, you know what? I've said this before. A guy like Woj, who's connected to one of the biggest and several of the biggest agencies that represent NBA players and has ESPN and has all the NBA contacts, Woj might be as influential and powerful as any man in sports. That's something you can consider. Joe Buck, I don't get.
Give me Buster Olney.
Stop it.
Give me Ken Rosenthal. Give me John
Schefter.
Give me Brendan Riley. How is Joe Buck more powerful than Brendan Riley? How?
More hair transplants.
Joe Buck's not our puppeteer.
That's
Brendan
true.
Riley's ours. I think Brendan Riley's far more powerful.
One of these days, I'll get paid like him.
Then, right? I think so. I think so. And whenever you do,
remember, nicely. Remember who puppeted well to get you there.
Yeah, gift nicely. I have a conspiracy theory in the NFL. I always have these conspiracy theories. We know this. I think Roger Goodell is intentionally screwing the football team. We all saw the ending of Washington and the Giants. Mm-hmm. We all saw Terry McLaurin, where he looked at the official not once but twice to be on the line to prevent an illegal formation. McLaurin would say after the game that the official told him he was good.
Yep.
We saw the very next play with Curtis Samuel getting held and interfered with the entire time. We know that the football team has been in the news. I think Goodell intentionally screwing the football team, trying to keep the football team out of the playoffs. And here was the football team's head coach, Ron Rivera, after the game discussing the officiating.
We didn't get the touchdown.
The call on Terry. Terry seemed pretty adamant. He had pointed his hand out to the ref. What was the explanation?
What did you guys see on the film?
Looked like Terry pointed his hand.
That's exactly what I thought, too. Thank you.
And I got to ask about the Curtis one as well. The fourth down.
In fact, don't ask me about the refereeing because I can't answer the question.
There you go. Ron Rivera not pleased. Roger Goodell intentionally screwing the Washington football team.
You know, we talk about owners. We can talk about commissioners, too. Anything you can do, I can do better. The same way that Rob Manfred likes to protect and serve the Yankees, I'm sure that, you know, he can prove that he acts like God. Well, then, guess what? Goodell can do it, too.
Yeah, I think Goodell's screwing Rivera, Snyder, and the football team.
Not that Snyder doesn't deserve
it. Yeah, he probably does. Bruh, the NFL lost one of its legends today. Rest in peace, Franco Harris, passing away. And, of course, one of the most iconic plays in football history.
Last chance for the Steelers. Bradshaw trying to get away. And his pass is broken up by Tatum. Tipped off. Franco Harris has it. And he's over.
Is that Chris Gowdy?
I have no idea. I wasn't born like you.
Oh, I wasn't. I don't believe that. I guess I was. Kurt Gowdy, who I believe was the guy. Kurt Gowdy, they named the Broadcasting Award in the Hall of Fame for Kurt Gowdy. It sounded like that his voice. But again, which makes this even more sad than the passing of an icon and a Hall of Famer in Franco Harris, they were going to retire his number this weekend. This is going to, and this was going to be the 50th anniversary of that immaculate reception. All this extra accolades and the fact that they were resurrecting to give him another chance to bask in the sunshine. And the week of he passes away, just tragic. I mean, I believe he was going to be the third Steeler to have his number retired. Think about all the greats in Steelers history. That the NFL had a poll like a year ago, and they said this was the greatest single play in football history.
Yeah, I believe it. It's certainly one of the most iconic plays. Rest in peace to Franco Harris. That's in case you missed it. Stories we've been dying to get to, but Brendan doesn't let us. Paul Gallant, our very good friend, Paul Gallant, he's feuding with the voters on Astro Twitter legend Michael Schwab's poll to grade the offseason. What is going on here? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, I'm telling you guys again, I'm trying to save the day and the holiday for you. And that is, if you haven't done your Christmas shopping yet, you haven't gotten your significant other anything, let alone something that she's truly going to love because it came with you and the thought was behind it, you can still save the day. You need to get these Naturally Nude Pajamas ASAP. Naturally Nude Pajamas, exclusively offered by Pajamagram.com, are the answer for you and for her because they feel just like her soft skin. They're more alluring than lingerie. The texture and the touch of these jammies are so seductive. You're both going to love the feel of them. And I'm telling you guys, it's the gift you give to her that keeps giving to you because when she wears them, you guys are going to have a holly jolly happy holiday season. Leave nothing to the imagination. Get the Naturally Nude Pajamas. Not only is she going to love feeling wearing next to nothing and the comfort of these pajamas, but they're going to throw in a free Naturally Nude nightgown right now, a $75 savings on another best-selling holiday gift. You get two gifts for the price of one. Both have you in mind, and both she is going to absolutely love. Two gifts taken care of for you without having to go to the mall and find parking and fight crowds and wait in lines. And on top of that, they're going to wrap them for you as well. So you get the free gift wrapping. You get the free nightgown. You get the naturally nude pajamas that she's going to love and knows that you put a lot of thought into. And then you're going to get all that and more because they're going to get it there by the holidays and make sure it looks like you knew all along what you were going to get her and take care of everything for her. Here's all you got to do. Go to pajamagram.com. That's pajamagram.com. Order the naturally nude pajamas. They will come with the nightgown. They will come with the gift wrapping, and they will come in time for the holidays. It's all the perfect storm for you this holiday season. Just get to pajamagram.com right now and tell them Joel Blank sent you by.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real. Fun. Sports. Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. Our colleague Paul Gallant, the great, the brilliant, the sophisticated Paulie G of the Paul Gallant, what are they calling it, show experience?
Paul Gallant Show.
The most interactive show in the city of Houston. He got into a fight with the voters of the legendary Michael Schwab of Astro Twitter fame. He posted a poll to grade the offseason, and Paulie G just went in on the voters, saying everybody's grading way too comfortably with all of their grades. He said it's ridiculous to give the Astros anything better than a C for this offseason. Yes, they got Abreu. They also lost a Cy Young Award winner, gave Rafael Montero a ridiculous contract, and were relying on a healthy Michael Brantley in 2023 for outfield depth. What kind of schools did you go to? There's two conversations to be had here. One, the Astros offseason, but then secondly, the grading. The grading of just any sports, right? You see grades with drafts, you see grades with offseasons, you see grades with trades, you see grades with contracts. And Paul's main point here is that we see way too many like B's and B pluses. That not too often do you see people give, like, you see A's more often, but he says, like, why don't you see C's? Why don't you see D's?
Paul was a private schooler, right?
He went to, I don't know where he went to high school. He went to Syracuse, though.
I think he was a private schooler. I think he's just being pretentious.
You think Paulie's being pretentious?
I do.
Paulie? That's not a surprise. That's on brand.
And you guys know I like Paul, but he's off here.
Yeah, you have a poster of him.
That's not true, but he's off here.
I thought it was on the wall. Did he get moved to the ceiling?
There might be multiple.
Why would he put it on the ceiling?
Well, because if he puts it above his bed when he lays in bed, he can dream of Paulie at night, and then he can see him.
Could you not do that if it was on the wall?
Well, with the lights out, it's a lot easier on the white ceiling than whatever it is on the wall.
It's all imaginary and irrelevant.
Is it?
Is it?
Yes.
Anyways, Pretentious Paul. Are you calling Paul pretentious? Is it Pretentious Paul his new nickname?
Yes, absolutely.
You don't agree with him, though, that that there's far too few C's and D's when we're giving out sports grades?
You're saying there's not enough C's and D's when we're giving out.
Yeah, that's kind of his point. His point was that, like, you see way too many A's and B's, and no one's willing to get, like, F's. There's, like, never the middle ground. There's never the C's. There's never the D's.
Well, I think that's too broad of a statement.
See, I think there's still room for incomplete.
Now, who's being pretentious?
Well, I just think, like, it depends on who's doing it. Like, you absolutely see C's in grading. It just, are home fans going to give something a C? Probably not.
Probably not.
Is the national media? I think so.
Well, I think home fans are more close to either going off the deep end, or climbing to the peak of the mountaintop and drinking the Kool-Aid.
That's just the nature of fandom. But when you're talking about it from a national perspective, I absolutely think you see people say off-season grade of a C.
Yeah, because I think a lot of those people are able to take their heart out of it and the passion that goes with it, and just as a realistic fan of the sport, say they did some good things. They haven't done enough. Could they do more? Yes. But that's why I said you can also still, even at this point in the season, it can still be an incomplete, because we don't know what they could still do with the rest of their money.
That's the other side of the conversation, though. Like, that's the Astros. What are you giving the Astros grade for the offseason versus the there's not enough C's and D's in sports grading?
Okay. I just think that nationally there are a lot of C's, D's, and F's.
I think there's a – he said Fs. He said there's not enough C's and D's. B. Hannon says everyone gets a trophy. Dick Willie's told us about five times that Paul went to a public school in Tampa. You know way too much about Paul, Dick
Willie. Is
that
true?
I'm concerned.
Paul he grew up in Tampa?
His high school years were in Tampa, yeah.
I thought it was in Massachusetts.
I think he was, like, raised there.
Yeah.
But I think by high school age, he was – I know he went to Florida. Okay. He was in Florida for a good period of time. Okay. I think his parents are divorced, and maybe one of his parents lives in New England.
Yeah, his stepdad is a Philadelphia Eagles fan. He said he was talking today about his stepdad, who's a massive Eagles fan, they're going to go to a bar and watch the Eagles together, and he loves watching it with Eagles fans. So I know that his stepdad is, I think, from Philly.
Okay. But I think his dad lives, like, in New England, and his mother lives in Florida? I don't know. I have no idea. 713-780-ESPN. The second part of the conversation, which you were talking about, is the Astros offseason. I'm curious why you think it's incomplete.
Well, not that there's any more gangbuster moves to be made, but I think that it's incomplete because there's still moves that they have to make. They have to find out who their utility guy is, whether it's Yuli, who everybody who has passion about the team would like to see back, or it's something that we talked about where there's other options that could be on the table, a Gene Segura or a Jurickson Profar, where you could upgrade that position as well. We don't know if they're going to try and add a left-handed reliever or another bullpen arm. We don't know what they're going to do with backup catcher. Are they going to stand pat with the young kids they got? There are still moves they could make that I think would be more pleasing to both Astros fans and baseball aficionados, but that's why I would say it's incomplete.
I don't think any of those grades necessarily move. Like, any of those moves, I don't think moves it like a letter grade. Like, I feel like I feel like if you're at an A right now, signing a Jurickson and Profar, like, it stays an A. I think if you're, like, at a B, I think it makes it a B+. I don't think any of those names you mentioned is enough to move it like a full letter grade. Like, you can say, like, B+ to A-, whatever. But if you're, like, at an A, B, C, D, I don't think any of those names moves it higher, a higher letter grade.
If you would add a Chafin and you would add a Gene Segura and you would add a veteran backup catcher or catcher.
There's not any catchers left. Like, Tucker Barnhart.
It has to just be free agents.
I mean, if you want to talk about trade, now you're sending something out there and we need to know the trade. I don't know what the catcher market looks like via trade, though. I would imagine not very good.
I would just say that I would think that there's a potential pathway to upgrading a grade.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Okay.
Yeah, like those names are probably the best names you could sign, like especially from a Dusty Baker point of view because he wants a lefty. Andrew Chafin, I think, is the best lefty reliever. Mm-hmm. He's the best loogie that's out there. I think lefties are a little bit overrated in today's day and age of baseball. But if you want to get a loogie, get a loogie. I don't care. And I think Andrew Chafin's that best loogie. In terms of like a utility guy, I think Jurickson Profar is probably – not realistic, but Jurickson Profar would be the best name there from a utility point
Gene
of view.
I think Segura is a better and more realistic.
But that's not
pickup.
Splashy, though. You know what I mean? Like, I'm talking about from a splash perspective. Profar is more splashy than Segura. Do I think Segura is
Why
a
do
better?
You think that?
Because he's going to make more money. He's a more attractive name.
I think you saw Gene Segura in the World Series, and I think that, again, we talked about he's kind of underrated, but I think that amongst baseball people that would be given these grades, they could see the addition of a Gene Segura as a utility guy that's been a longtime starter that's about a 300-type hitter.
I agree with you.
That'd be fantastic.
I agree with you, but it's not sexy.
Okay.
It's a shrewd baseball move, but Jurickson Profar is far more sexy than Gene Segura.
Know. Aside from wearing
who's going to make more money?
Bad belt buckles and things. I don't think that he's sexier than a guy that's been a better baseball player.
Who's going to make more money? Because I think a lot of times contract size, that's something
sexy.
That is equal to sexy.
Yeah, that's
I think
more
so.
Sexy than like a better baseball move. I get that.
Yeah. So, I mean, from like a splash perspective, I think Profar is a bigger splash. But even Gene Segura, like an underrated move, I don't think moves you up an entire letter grade. And I agree with
No, not solely by itself. But if you also would get Chafin and you would get some kind of a veteran catcher, then I think you could talk about a letter grade.
Yeah, maybe I'm in the minority here. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. What letter grade would you give? You said incomplete. I give the Astros, I'm going to go exactly what Paul Gallant hates, and give it firmly a B+. For the Houston Astros offseason. I really like what the Astros did this offseason. Now, I agree with Paul to an extent. What has left the building is better than what has walked through the building. You lose a Verlander, you lose a Vasquez, you lose a Mancini, you lose an Aledmys Diaz. I'm probably forgetting a couple as well. What has walked out the door is greater than has walked in the door. That said, I still think the Astros have had a very good offseason to date.
Okay, and that's fair. I mean, look, I think I like their offseason more than a lot of people do. I would hope that they still do some other things, but you're the World Series champions. You didn't have that much to do. I think adding Abreu was a big, big step in a positive direction. And you re-signed your own, that's fine, but you kept the best bullpen in baseball together. Yes, you lost Verlander. I get you lost the Cy Young Award winner, but I think realistically amongst baseball in baseball terms, with the depth you had at starting pitching and you had young guys ready to take that next step, that you made a business decision that I don't disagree with. So I like all the things that they've done to date, and even bringing back Brantley was my personal choice of the options out there because he wasn't going to break the bank. But if Michael Brantley's back to being Michael Brantley, I think he's a really important part of this team. He can still be one. But other people see it differently. They wanted all sexy names. They wanted all, like, big dollar, you know, like, media rattling signings. I thought Abreu was that one. I think that Crane probably felt that way, too. And other than that, he didn't do as much as people would like. But I'm not mad at him for what he's done so far.
713-780-ESPN, the HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. I got to give you a reality check. I think sometimes all of you need to come to terms with reality. A reality check involving Kyle Tucker. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, I want to tell you about my good friends at Fitz Roofing. I tell you about them all the time. Corey's not only the owner, he's the vice president of the Houston Roofing Association. Corey knows what he's doing. He has the trust of his peers. He will have the trust of you, too, because he is focused on customer service. They have the best warranties in the business. They use the best products in the business, starting with CertainTeed shingles. They have the best ratings in the business on Facebook and Home Advisor. And on top of all those things, he does what means the most to you. He saves you money. He does it right from the get-go because all you need to do is call him at 832-521-3001 and set up an appointment for them to come out and see what you got going on and how they can help. It won't cost you anything. In most other companies in this area, they're going to charge you $75 to $100 just to show up at your front door and try and figure out what's going on once you show them the problem. That's not the way they do business at Fitz. They do all that for free. They come to your door. They figure out what's going on. They tell you how they can help. They go on with the rest of their day. You want them to come back and do the work? Just book the appointment before, during, and after the sale. Best customer service in the business. They will take care of you because they want you, through your word of mouth and the people you know, to recommend them to others in the Houston area. Check them out today. Get that free no obligation inspection. Call them 832-521-3001. It's Fitz Roofing, making a difference one home at a time.
ESPN 97.5. Talking sports with you, not at you. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
All right, sometimes we got to slap some reality into you, slap a little sense into you, slap some, give you a little bit of a reality check. We had a bunch of people calling us in the first hour when we were talking about, are you a little bit jealous of the New York Mets? Are you a little bit jealous of Steve Cohen spending all this money, a $495 million commitment to his roster after the luxury tax, all of that, nearly $500 million Steve Cohen is spending on his team this year. Spending. And a lot of people, whenever they called in, they kept mentioning Kyle Tucker. Here's an example of that.
I want to see Crane spend that money on our players, you know. I was fine with Correa leaving. I was fine with Justin Verlander leaving. But Tucker, we got to pay Tucker.
All right, so pay Tucker, something that you hear. That was Pena who called in, mentioned that. Here's somebody else from a caller in our opening hour of the show.
I'm not necessarily jealous. I think the Mets are going to be interesting to watch this coming season. But I'm more so thinking, like, us paying our guys, like, get a deal done with Tucker.
All right, so somebody else mentioned Kyle Tucker. You go look at the mean streets of Twitter, and everybody that's an Astro, like, not everybody, a lot of Astro fans pay Kyle Tucker. Keep Kyle Tucker in full. Give him a Yordan Alvarez contract. Make sure that you keep Kyle Tucker here, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I've heard the bench talk about several players that they would love to lock up, whether it's a Fromber, whether it's a Kyle Tucker. The Astros still have like $20 million under the competitive balance tax, so a lot of people are like, oh, you know, earmark that money for some of your young players. Reality check when it comes to Kyle Tucker. Kyle Tucker is not signing a long-term extension with the Houston Astros this offseason. No, most players, when they sign big long-term contracts, is to buy them out of their arbitration years. Kyle Tucker's about to taste arbitration for the very first time in his Major League Baseball career, which means a significant amount of money. He still has 3 years under club control, so he's still going to be here a while. That first year of arbitration, he tastes big league money. He's not making the league minimum. It's only going to grow in the second year. It's only going to grow in the third year. And, oh, yeah, by the way, the Astros already tried to lock up Kyle Tucker, and they failed doing so. McTaggart reported it early last year that the Astros are trying to get contracts done with Kyle Tucker, and didn't actually report Yordan. He said Kyle Tucker. It did not happen. The Astros tried to get it done. They couldn't get it done, and last year would have been the last year that they had the opportunity to do so. Once you get to the arbitration years, they're not going to sign this team-friendly contract. They're getting real money, and they're just a few years away from free agency where they can make even more money.
I was going to say, it's only going to get worse. The numbers are only going to go up. The agents are not stupid. That's why the players are hiring them, and they're doing their job. And that's why, for as much as Yordan gave you a sweetheart of sweetheart deals without being Valentine's Day, and it's the gift that's going to keep on giving for you, assuming that he stays healthy, Tucker wasn't in on all that. He wasn't going to do the same thing the same way, and he knew that his day was coming. Now he's got the 3 years of arbitration. Then he's going to get a mega deal, and I hate to say this, but even right now it looks like basically the writing's on the wall that unless you are willing to do what you have said as an organization you don't want to and will not do, which is long-term big money, he sees what the market is dictating. He knows what he's about to be able to engage in, and even if it's not with the Houston Astros, that loyalty ain't gonna, it only goes so far. He's going to take best deal most years, and he's going to get his bag too. And chances are, it's not going to be with you.
Whenever those players sign those deals, it's before arbitration, and they're trading the potential average annual earnings and maybe a couple of years of free agency for the security right away.
Right.
Yordan Alvarez is an example of that. I mean, there's been a ton of examples with the Houston Astros because Luno operated this way as well. But Yordan Alvarez wanted the guarantee security up front, buy out a couple of the free agent years, but he got paid well before arbitration. Kyle Tucker wouldn't have been, if it happens this offseason, this is his arbitration year. If you go back to Jose Altuve signed way before the arbitration years, bought out a couple of years of free agency. Alex Bregman signed before the arbitration years and bought out a couple of years of free agency. They offered George Springer a contract when he was in the minor leagues. Hey, you want to be a big leaguer? Okay, but on our terms. You buy out a couple of years of your free agency, we'll bring you up. It's a great deal for the club. You get the security. Springer bet on himself. Kyle Tucker has already bet on himself once at the beginning of 2022 season. He's not going to take the security now because the security is not needed as much as it was at the beginning of last season.
And the market is dictating that the norm is going to be exactly what the Astros don't want it to be, which is 10-year deals at hundreds of millions of dollars, and he knows he's just going to cash in. He's one of those guys like Correa that have no problem betting on themselves and knowing that in a pay-for-play year or years, he will earn it and then some, and he's not afraid of the situation. Some people have family situations. Other people don't like the added pressure of knowing now it's not just me performing for my team, trying to do the best to win games and win a championship. Now it's I've got my whole future riding on everything that I do, and they don't like it. It weighs heavily on them, and it really affects them negatively, and they're not that kind of player, so they sign early so they can take that stress away. Tucker's a guy that's going to bet on himself. I bet that he won't be an Astro after the 3 years of arbitration because of it. And what you're going to see is the reality of Astros versus most of the rest of Major League Baseball in terms of what they're going to do if you want a superstar or a big-time player and what you're going to have to do to keep him. And I don't think the Astros are going to play ball like that.
Yeah, nothing has told you that they will. Like, even with this, we thought that Jim Crane was going to be this big spender, which I think Crane spends. Mm-hmm. I don't think he spends Cohen. Nobody spends what Cohen does. But Crane also is not going to commit long-term. He's willing to give more average annual value. We saw it with Montero. I think we might have even seen it a little bit with Jose Abreu. We saw it with Justin Verlander last year. He's willing to give the higher average annual value, but he's not going to get beat long term.
Yeah, for a smaller window of time, he's willing to overpay a little bit, but he knows it won't have the long term ramifications or the risk of long term ramifications if the deal doesn't. Even the Montero deal, we all said right from the get go, he probably overpaid, or he did overpay.
I think it's fair to say he overpaid.
Yeah, he overpaid. But when you look at it, it wasn't for 5, 10, 11, 12 years. He overpaid in the short term while his team's really, really good, and he could afford to do it. So I don't dislike the way that Crane is doing business, but I think at a certain point it's really going to be a pressing issue as you see potentially another guy that everybody's going to check off their list as a guy that they love possibly walking out the door.
Yeah, and look, I mean, we took calls on, it wasn't even Kyle Tucker calls today. Are you jealous of the Mets? Are you jealous of Steve Cohen? We got to lock up our own. Kyle Tucker already has told you, no thanks, I'm going to bet on myself. He's now tasting big money with arbitration. The idea of signing Kyle Tucker to a long-term deal isn't really like realistic, especially from an Astros point of view. Because like Kyle Tucker at this point is going to want the big free agent deals that are out there. I'm not saying he wants Aaron Judge money or Carlos Correa money, but he's going to want this big contract. And it doesn't make sense now for the Astros to do it because they could wait 3 years.
Right.
They still
right.
have 3 years of club control. So that sweet spot for a player and a team to trade years of free agency versus security is like year one, year two of a player's big league career, not where Kyle Tucker's at now. And that's just reality that you're going to have to face, Astro fans, is that Kyle Tucker and the idea of a long-term extension isn't going to happen. If it does happen between the Kyle Tucker and the Astros, it's going to come after the third year of arbitration, not right now.
Yeah, and it's going to come at a hefty price. And the Astros are probably going to have to completely change their thinking in terms of the length and the amount of money in order to keep him and maintain.
If they want to keep him. I don't think they're changing.
If they want to keep him. And if they don't want to change their ways and their philosophies, then he's going to play somewhere else. And you tip your cap yet again to another guy that a lot of people have endeared themselves to and love because of the championships and what they've meant to the franchise. And they're going to be butthurt about it.
Sure. And the good news is he's still under club control for 3 more years. So, like, you still have Kyle Tucker. Like, mm-hmm. he's not leaving tomorrow. 0830, the reality we as Astro fans need to be prepared for is Tucker walking. Bregman will probably walk, too, after 2024. Altuve will be the last man standing. Maybe McCullers comes back after his deal, depending on his injury history. Look, maybe that's true. We don't know. We don't know how, like, Altuve is going to operate, McCullers going to operate, Bregman's going to operate. All three of those guys have taken club-friendly deals. We don't know if Jim Crane's going to have, like, this changing of opinion because the Astros are great and he wants to be loyal to the players that have been very good. But also part of the reality, how many players on the Astros team right now is around in 2017?
Four now.
The
right?
Astros.
Because Verlander's gone. So it's McCullers, Altuve, well, three, because Yuli's gone, too.
So Bregman.
So it's Bregman, Altuve, and McCullers. It's three.
Okay, maybe we're missing one, but that it doesn't really matter. It's not the point. The Astros' brilliance is built on their development. It's built on the pipeline. It's built on building from within. So even like if Tucker leaves, even if Bregman leaves, the greatness of the Astros has been built because of player development in the pipeline. That is what is most important to continue, not these singular players year after year.
Can I take that one step further, too, and say it's the development and the evaluation? Because sometimes it might not even be within their system.
Yeah.
They've evaluated talent on other teams that maybe have been undervalued by that said team. And gone out and added those players too, and then reap the benefit of those players in the right situation, flourishing and helping to contribute. The reload has been unbelievable for this team. When you talk about what the middle of the lineup and the lineup looked like in 17, and what the middle of the lineup and the lineup has looked like last year, and now what it's going to look like going forward, they've been able to rebuild on the fly. And don't say that's just a lineup thing. Look at the pitching staff. The pitching staff alone is a major reason why you haven't had to rebuild and you just reload.
713-780-ESPN. Sometimes Killer Bees just got to give you a dose of reality. 713-780-3776. Brendan's got complicated travel plans. Brendan's a diva traveler. What are his complicated travel plans? What are the solutions? Can the Hive help him? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Before we go to the break, one more time, tell you about the good people at Apollo Men's Health. Look, Doc O is just a fantastic dude, and he is going to take care of his patients. And he just wants to know what's going on so he can help. You're not trying to win a gold medal. You're trying to win the day. In order to win the day, he has a way to have you have more energy in your life, to be able to do things you need to do so that you make sure that you get everything done at work and you take care of everything for the family and you do the honey-do list and you make sure you got time for your kids and maybe even the gym too. That's what they do at Apollo Men's Health. They take care of you. You want to get on a workout program? Start with a full body composition analysis so you can track your results and see where your numbers are and know that when your body fat goes down and your muscle mass goes up, you can find progress even when you don't feel it in the gym. Same thing with recovery. If you're sore after going to the gym, they can help you recover quicker with HGH peptide therapy. That energy thing, you can start with a simple B12 shot every week, take it all the way up to hormone therapy and the multitude of ways that you can get it administered. It's absolutely fantastic. Check them out today. Go to ApolloMH.com. Check out the website with all the different variety of features that they offer and things that they can do for you with services that are going to benefit you. There's got to be a couple that can help you too. Set up an appointment. Talk to them about it. See how they can help. It's great because they care about you. So understand you're in a comfortable room being honest with people that are trying to help. When you tell them where you're falling short and what you'd like to do, they set up a program that works. They get you the results you're after, and they take care of you every step of the way. I love these guys because they take care of you the right way. Go to ApolloMH.com. Tell them I sent you by. Free B12 shot or body comp on your first official visit and let the process go from there. Good people doing great things. The people at Apollo Men's Health.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Administration of employee benefits is a hassle. Let HRNP eliminate those burdens and save you money. Visit HRP.net today.
Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
8693 says, we are the champions. We are the champions. No time for losers, because we are the champions of the world. Thank you, Freddie Mercury. Thank you,
Queen. I was just going to say, is that plagiarizing Freddie Mercury? Or
5619. I don't think he's going to sue you. 5619. This dude is,
people might.
This dude has texted this 10 times on today's program throughout the show. He says, maybe Cassio is scared of trying to be too much like the former Astros GM in Luno, The Twilight Zone is better than the Outer Limits, What is going on with the Killer Bees? Too much Gentle Ben, I think. You can never have too much Gentle Ben.
Sounds like you might, instead of the text line, you might need a couch and a therapist to get through all of that. There's a lot.
Don't we all?
There's a lot going on there.
I walked by to get my water refilled, and Lance was in there doing, you know, the Lance stuff. The NFL draft prospect stuff, which he's great. I can't wait for his reports to come out.
Moving and shaking, shaking and moving. Cell phones can't go down until the Zoom chats go up because he's got so many people he's got to reach on a daily basis.
Sure. Yeah, all of that. Yeah. I need to ask him when the draft profiles go up because I love to read his draft profiles. But Cody was in there, and they were talking a little bit of Bryce Young. And this is what I want to happen. This is what my Christmas wish list contains. I have one thing on my Christmas wish list. Just one thing. One thing that I want to happen in sports more than any other thing over the next 4 months. I want Bryce Young to have a hand size less than 9 inches because Cody's on a campaign. We know this from last year with Kenny Pickett that you can't be a quarterback in the NFL with less than a 9-inch hand. But he's also on the Bryce Young campaign. So all of a sudden, if he has less than a 9-inch hand, what do you do? Mm. I want that to happen so bad.
And then you want Lance to interject?
I love Lance interjecting in anything, but more than that, I want Cody to be conflicted.
Jeremy is going to be the only person in the history of the combine
glued in
to be invested in a hand size measurement.
Oh, I
does this mean we're going to have to remeasure?
No, why would we have to remeasure?
Because we all measured last year.
I had a 9.5, I think.
No, you didn't. You had the smallest hand in the
station. No, I didn't. I did not have the smallest hand.
I don't remember the details.
I did not have the smallest hand.
I think it was who?
I have long hands. Look at that thing. Look at that. Look at that.
I'll let them remember the numbers.
I don't remember it.
Yeah.
I have long hands. Okay. I got long limbs. I got long hands, long limbs, long feet. Just saying. But wouldn't that be great long if he has less than a 9-inch hand and he wants
it would be interesting, especially then because of the fact that I know that you would just let it lie and you wouldn't bring it up or even mention it.
No, of course not.
See,
ever.
Of course not. Last year, like, I mean, there's a little bit of hindsight here. But I do think last year Kenny Pickett was being viewed as like the pretty clear number one, right?
Him and Malik. I think they were kind of 50-50.
And again, it always from workout to workout, and then everything was fluctuating, and depending on which guy had his latest mock draft, someone surpassed the other one.
I just wonder if Bryce Young could get jumped if that were to happen by like consensus view.
I made two NFL draft bets this morning.
Wow.
Already?
Actually three. Yeah, because the value's there.
Yeah, it's probably a good time to
find
value.
It's a good time to find value. The three bets that I made, I made a bet on two different guys going number one, Will Levis and Jalen Carter. I got Levis at like plus 850 and Jalen Carter at plus 1200. And then I placed a bet on Will Levis being the number one quarterback off the board.
Wow.
You know who has a 10.5? You know who has a 10.5 inch hand?
Will Levis.
Will Levis has a 10.5 inch hand, baby.
Levis. Coffee at a young age can make your hand size grow.
That's a commitment to excellence. What?
I hate the Carter bet. Like,
why?
I get why you want to go that route.
Plus 1,200? Oh, you mean from a Texans perspective or from a draft?
Yeah, I get why you want to go that route.
That's a trade.
Hold on a second. You hate the Carter bet from the perspective of you don't think it's going to, like, has good value?
I don't look
or from
it as a
Texans
bet.
Plus 1,200?
Texans are taking a quarterback. We can flirt with the idea that they're not going to. Texans are taking a
quarterback. What if they trade down?
Plus 1,200 is tremendous value, though. That's tremendous value for a guy who I think is the best player in the draft.
Maybe they trade down. I really think they're going to take their quarterback.
I think they will too.
Todd McJay thinks that he has off the field issues.
Jalen Carter?
Yeah.
Yeah, but he still had him going like second. Like, I mean, talk out of both sides of your mouth, Todd McShay. That's outrageous. But yeah, Will Levis has a 10.5 inch hand. Because I'm so committed to the craft, I am going to watch, and I've already started doing this, I'm going to watch every single snap that Bryce Young has taken at Alabama and every single snap that Will Levis has taken at Kentucky.
So C.J. Stroud isn't in your mix.
I'm gonna evaluate him, but not as closely. I'm going to evaluate Richardson, but not as closely.
Plus, you're going to get to see more of C.J. Stroud. Because he's still playing.
Yeah, I will. Stetson Bennett. If you want college success, yeah, Stetson Bennett's your guy.
Well, you've got guys that you can actually pay even more attention to that still have games to be played because it relates to your favorite football team and see how they look on the big stage, bright lights, and see how they perform. I mean, I've heard from so many people
who
throughout
are you saying is my favorite football team?
What? I'm not saying you. The Texans. The Texans. In terms of if you're listening to this show and you know that most people are Texans fans that listen to the show, they have an added reason to watch the college football playoffs, to watch two guys that are going to be evaluated over and over again as it relates to the NFL and possibly playing for the Texans, at least one of them for sure.
Yeah.
So I think from a Levis perspective, what I have to ask you is because of the fact that we've had these ongoing conversations and a lot of people have said he just hasn't looked good all year. He's got the measurables. And I know that you also mentioned the fact he doesn't have a whole lot around him. So is it going to be an expert going with just what they know, regardless of what he had to work with, and saying that's the reason why he didn't have more success in college, and expect that he's going to really flourish in the NFL with an NFL roster around him?
Listen to the Killer Bees tomorrow, 12 to 3 on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. I see what you did there. It's a really good tease. I like that. But Brendan's got a lot of travel concerns. Brendan's got some travel concerns that we got to take care of. Like the Texans are picking number one on April 27th. Brendan could potentially be flying out of here tomorrow. So pressing matters are at hand here. Brendan, can you tell us about the dilemma that you have?
Well, so I thought I could be flying out of here tomorrow, but it doesn't look like that's on the table anymore. Have you guys seen the weather around the country the next couple days?
Yeah, I'm going to be freezing my butt outside in it.
But you also know that a lot of times there's swing and misses by weathermen, but this one's pretty... it's going to get cold. You just don't know how cold.
Hold on a second. What do you think the miss is going to be here?
That it won't be as cold, and thankfully, hopefully, we won't lose power. And
that's what I'm hoping for.
And there's no precipitation involved, which makes it 10 times worse.
I hope they're right there.
Yeah,
because they're saying there's not going to be any moisture.
I'm not even talking Houston. Like, Southwest has an alert right now for, like, all the cities that they think could have cancellations and delays and all that the next couple days. I looked through it. There's, like, 50 cities. It's literally all over the country. So I was supposed to fly out Friday night at 5:50 was when I was supposed to leave Houston.
Okay. So you're going to do the show Friday, 5:50?
That was the plan. That's since changed. because I want to make sure I get home, right? And they're saying no matter what, wherever you go, the chances are pretty high that you could run into cancellations and delays. So I'm sitting here with the Southwest ticket, the last flight to Detroit on Friday night. But I can change it to any time tomorrow during the day. And I'm just trying to figure out, like, what is the best way for me to go about trying to get home? Like, I have a couple options.
How many flights are out of here to get to where you're going?
So here's the problem. There's plenty, but none of them are direct.
There's only one direct a day, is there not?
There's no direct on Friday.
So
there used to be one,
because
then when it gets to Detroit, it goes to Milwaukee, because I used to take it.
Yeah, there's none on Friday. So I'm looking at into Nashville or into Chicago are the two that are most likely. I also, here's a little, if I wanted to get crazy, I have a friend who's driving from D.C. He has told me I could fly there. I would be in the backseat with two dogs. But, like, I'm trying to figure out how the hell do I do this. So, currently where my head's at
I'm out on the D.C. thing.
Yeah.
I'm not riding with two dogs.
That's a three-dog night. I mean, and that's a long drive, isn't it?
Where I'm at on this, it's
two
like
dogs,
nine hours
dog.
Before weather. Where I'm at right
Three
now
dogs.
Is I think I'm going to show up to the airport like first thing in the morning Friday. And because it's Southwest and you can change your flight up until 5 minutes before, I think I'm just going to like change it to the first flight that looks like it's going to get out of there.
Why don't you change your ticket now from the evening to the morning?
Because what happens if I miss out on that and someone's taking my flight in the evening?
I think I'd rather miss the other way. I think I'd rather if I'm going to miss something, I'd rather miss early than late. Because now you
have room to maneuver.
Yeah. Like if you're just stuck with that late night ticket and then all of a sudden all the other flights get full and you're sitting on that like 6 o'clock flight and then that flight gets canceled, you're done.
What do you guys think the odds are that I end up getting stuck in like Nashville for the holidays?
I don't think there's
that. I get into Nashville, but then I can't get from
there
to
Detroit.
Is there
supposed to be snow up north?
I was going to say, what's the weather?
Yeah.
If the weather
Lots
is like
snow.
Texas all the way west, east, you got a lot of problems.
They're expecting 6 to 10 inches of snow in Detroit on Friday.
Yeah.
I'd start looking at tonight.
And you can't leave tomorrow?
No.
I'm scheduling my flight the first thing in the morning.
Yeah.
the first thing in the morning. Because, I mean, at that point, at least you have options for the rest of the day. And plus, like, bad weather, everything gets backlogged and back. Like,
and they can
up.
Always triple connect you. It might not be a one connection thing, but they can find a way to connect the dots to get you where you need to go.
Well, I'm hoping I don't spend my holidays in Nashville.
Yeah, I hope you don't either. All right. Thanks to Brendan for doing all the hard work. He's Blank. I'm Branham. We'll talk to you tomorrow, Houston. The Wheelhouse is next on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Football.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports.